Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There he proclaimed the good news from God. The time has come, he said, and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe the good news. As he was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in their boat mending their nets. He called them at once, and, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the men he employed, they went after him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The first thing I feel about reading this story is that perhaps Mark was having a bad day when he wrote this bit of the Gospel, because his usually chatty style has been shaved down to the bare essentials. Usually he tells us all kinds of incidental things on the side of the story, like the woman with the hemorrhage who comes up behind Jesus in the crowd, and we get the whole of her inner dialogue with herself. She said to herself, "Only I can touch his hem of his robe, I should be well again." And then he launches into a tremendous diatribe about how she's worked years to try and eradicate this disease, spent everything she had under various doctors up to the point that she's getting worse. And he can't stop giving us little details. And here we have this almost classical simplicity. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. The at once, the immediately, gives us is one of Mark's favourite words. He likes to talk about things happening immediately. Miracles, responses from people, the movement of a crowd has to be at once, immediately, spontaneously. And the narrative is punctuated with these bursts of immediacy. Here, it's very conspicuous. There's nothing here to say that they were old friends of Jesus, that they'd heard him speak or that they'd seen him work. It is simply that he confronts them. And on the spur of the moment, it seems, invites them. And they set their feet on the path that will take them at least to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the immediacy is therefore on two fronts. They are confronted with Jesus, but Jesus too seems to have acted immediately. They must have been a little way out from the shore as they were casting net. He can't even have looked into the whites of their eyes. And when we get to know Mark and the other evangelists too, we discover that nothing is unintentional in the Gospels. It is all designed to be as it is. So what about applying the same kind of cleanliness to our own following of Christ? People become Christians for a multiplicity of reasons. Very many of them, with unconscious cynicism, will say, "Well, I'm Catholic because my parents were Catholics." That's not in the Gospel here. "I'm Catholic because that's the way I was baptized and brought up. People around me are Catholic, so I'm Catholic." That's very much not here. What is happening here is something quite new. These are four guys who got a career marked out for them, fishing training. And this meeting with a man who says, "Follow me," explodes all that. This is something completely new. And it rests on no established affections or relationships within the people concerned. Some people become Christians because they're frightened of death. And they want to hear about the resurrection. That's not in the gospel. Some people become Christians because they have seen good Christians about them. And they have seen what Christianity does in the lives of others. And they think, "I would like to have that sense of generosity or that sense of peace or whatever it is." That's certainly not in the gospel. All that is in the gospel is the voice of Christ with its authority and the confrontation with Christ in his own person. And when these fishermen see him, they take no notice of anyone else. They take no notice of their situation, or their job, or their future. They simply, immediately drop everything and follow him. Although the call of the apostles is very important in the gospel, it isn't everybody's future. These men were called away from their homes. I notice poor old Zebedee is left with the men he employed, which means he lost his family. But that means that he was pretty well off, so there won't really be any responsible as such towards him. They lose their family circumstances and their job. For a wandering life from village to village through Galilee and Judea. And they get eventually told that they must abandon all their securities, must carry no money with you, must rely on the preaching of the gospel and its welcome for your support. That's a whole new way of life. And not everybody is called to it, even in the gospel. There is that poor man who had the legion of devils living in him. Jesus goes to him and he hasn't got a life. He hasn't got a fishing boat or a family. Symbolically enough, he lives in the tombs. He lives where the dead are. And his relationship, his bond in life, is actually with death. And his extremity, his distance from ordinary human beings is so great that nobody even dares to walk that way because they're so frightened of him. And he's gashing himself with stones and crying in the night in the mountains. When everyone else is sleeping, resting, he is awake and suffering. And Jesus brings him back to life and community. And when the people come out, they find him sitting at Jesus' feet, like tamed animals. I wonder what his future was. As Jesus left, he begged Jesus to let him go with him, and Jesus would not. "Go home," he said, "to your own people, and tell them what the Lord in his goodness has done for you." His vocation is to go and be at home and to speak of the healing of Christ there. But I still think that reading this gospel today, we should look at our own lives. And in all the variety of them, so many different ways of being a Christian, we should look for that obedience which is like this obedience of the disciples, which doesn't rest on what somebody else has taught us or expects of us, or something that we happen to fancy for ourselves, but which is concerned with gazing into the face of Christ and giving him our lives, submitting our lives to him, simply in obedience to what we see in him. Lent is going to begin very soon, and if our Lenten penance this year could cleanse our faith of all the human interferences, if you like, or crutches that the people offered us, or outside supports, to find this personal self-gift to Christ, which the apostles show us today, then something radical could be laid open to us. That Christ has, outside of all other relationships, looked on us and invited us, and we have simply and immediately put everything down and come to follow him. Let us proclaim our faith. We believe in one God.